Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds on a daily life. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from Ronan, Montana, and I am normally joined by Mark Woltz and Ann Ortley. And I know that Mark is out for the night and Ann might be joining us later. Tonight, the Sun is still in Virgo, Mars is in Virgo, Mercury and Venus are in Libra, and what a shift that was last weekend as Venus and Mercury left Virgo and entered Libra, and a softness and a willingness to interact in a good way. There's a grand trine going on tonight as the Taurus moon trines Mars and the Sun on one corner and Saturn and Pluto conjunct on the other corner. So at an earth trine asking us to put some effort into our future in a concrete way tonight. If you've got a proposal to put in, if you want to plant a seed, if you want to start a project, tonight is a good night to plant your intentions. Cuddle your honey, plant that intention. Take your dog on a walk, plant that intention. But notice that it's a rich, fertile and transformative time. So it's also looking at what the other folk will be doing with this. Look at the politics carefully. What intentions are being planted this week and how will that grow? We have some interesting other aspects clicking along with this. Jupiter and Neptune are moving into the third square this year. They squared in January 19th, in June 16th, and then again exact tomorrow. And that Jupiter-Neptune square has been bringing up, you know, it's been the soggy summer. It's been a summer of rain. The Mississippi Basin has been flooded for most of this time. We had floods, the huge water damage in the Bahamas and in storms around the globe. And after years of drought, and there's still drought going on, but Jupiter-Neptune square also can bring up, it can be great for our spiritual practice and for our imaginal world, but it brings up the question of illusion, of what is the truth, what is fake news, who's telling the truth. Can be very hard to pierce the fog during this combination. And this last week, and when all the planets went through Virgo, and this last week it was the Sun and Mars, formed the third corner, a T-square with that Neptune and Jupiter, leaving the empty hole over in Gemini, the empty corner of the grand square. So it's a T-square. So that Jupiter-Neptune also brings up the question of pollution, of right use of fossil fuels. Neptune covers liquids, oils, things that flow, fuels, sugars, alcohols. So many people who have had trouble with substance abuse have found that either it's acting up or it got so bad that they actually really dealt with it this year. So we see that very strongly placed. This week, just yesterday, I believe, or was the day before, there was an explosion in the Soviet Union at a facility that traps diseases, bubonic plague, Ebola, all that, you know, was keeping samples supposedly for research. And they say that there has been no leak of toxins from that. But when I look at this aspect, I wonder how much truth is coming out around that. In Fukushima, they talk about whether or not they need to release their water tanks are full. Will they release some of their radioactive water into the ocean? All of this coming to a peak is this Jupiter-Neptune square peaks. Now, this happens every so often because Jupiter takes only 12 years to go around the zodiac. It happens roughly over 9 years. So this is, we feel next time we'll deal with this, it will be a Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in about 7 years. And this, but when the two come together, we look at how we pollute, how do we use our vision, how do we deal with waters. This square has been unusually uncomfortable for those purposes, because Jupiter is also in Sagittarius, the sign we associate with the ecosystem. It's an interesting lineup that talks about the difficulties. You know, climate change is the topic that we are debating, that the Democratic Party is trying to wrestle with and disagreeing on what's true, who's being honest about their actual approach. Greta Thunberg, a very interesting chart of the young woman that came over from Europe to talk to the UN about climate change and bringing up those issues. She has a very interesting chart with a Sun, Moon, Mercury in Capricorn, and Venus and Mars in Scorpio. And she says that being Asperger's is her superpower, which you can see with that chart, that she stays on focus and clear and to the point about the information. And her chart reminds me of a story told by the neurologist who wrote the book, the man who thought his wife was a hat. But a neurologist who studied aphasics. Robin Williams played him in a movie. But he described walking into an aphasics ward when Ronald Reagan was president and giving a speech on TV, and everybody was laughing. Now, half the ward could not really understand words. They only read emotions, and they couldn't follow logic, but read emotions and body language. And the other half of the ward, because these are people whose parts of their brains weren't working well together, the other half of the ward were people that could not read emotional affect, but only follow the logic of the words. And the ones that followed the logic said, "This guy's not making any sense. That's why we're laughing." And the other guy says, "We don't know what he's saying, but he's obviously lying." And that their neurological difficulties gave them a clarity that it was hard for other people to see. And that's what I'm feeling with the young double Capricorn, Venus and Mars and Scorpio around the climate control issues, is that she sees the pattern, but she's not attached to the emotional connections that people have to the way the world is run now, and only sees what's happening and what needs to be done. So it's a really interesting process. So on Friday, we have that Jupiter-Neptune square, and the last few days of summer, the equinox, early Monday morning and late on Sunday, early Monday morning. And the equinox week is a time, you know, equal day and night, when it's like a lock system in a river. There are opportunities that are opened as these forces equal out. And how you can work with those forces to create an opening in your life. The communication can flow, if we bring ourselves to bear to it, can flow more easily this week than it has been for a while. So where do you want to use this opening? What would you like to create room to grow in your life? And I see we have several people on the call. Hit one if you want me to speak to you. And I will start answering questions right away. We'll come back to the review in a minute. But we'll see. I'm going to click through you pretty quickly because I want to see if I can get several people on the air tonight. And hello, area code 530, you're on the air. How can I help you?
Hi, Heather. My birthday is June 26, 1959, and I was born in Los Angeles, California at 8:18 p.m.
8:18 p.m. in Los Angeles. Thank you. And what's your question tonight?
I've got some travel coming up, and I just wanted to see how that looks for you. I'm going to be going to the East Coast on October 9th through the 15th.
Okay.
And
And that was your question, whether how is that going to go?
Yeah. I wanted to see if that was a good time for me, and also
okay.
And
you said June 26th. I want to make sure I got it right.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Now, Mercury turns retrograde on Halloween, on Samhain,
mm-hmm.
and is retrograde for until November 19th, and you're going to be back by then. So you're heading over at a good time when Mercury is still moving forward at a relatively good clip. And now, are you returning back to a place that you've been before with people that you know?
No, I've never been there.
Then? Okay, wonderful.
But it's okay. I live with my daughter who just had all her teeth removed, and she has a baby. And
oh my,
she just got that done last week, and I'm a little nervous to leave, but she's got support while I'm gone, but I don't know, I just want to see if that's going
to... Okay, we'd have to look at her chart for that. It looks
okay.
Like she's doing, like your perception of your child is that she is doing well. Now, there's the reason why I asked if you were going back is because you've got a kind of tricky... transit by progression this year, in that your progressed Sun conjuncts Pluto sometime towards the end of the year, beginning of next year for you. And so you're kind of coming up to a nexus in your life of what's the meaning of your existence, why are you here, what are you doing, and kind of at some turning points. But it's not hitting right now, and so I was saying, are you going back to deal with some old issues? No. So good. We'll put those off for months, and you just go back and have an experience of otherness, of change, break of pace, shifting gears. And if you want to give me your daughter's info quickly, let's take a look at her chart.
Okay. Yes, hers is February 6, 1994, born in South Lake Tahoe, California at 8:08 p.m.
And okay.
This is February 6th.
Oh, hi.
Yes.
Yeah, Liz, who it is?
Hi, Ann.
Hi. February 4th or February 6th?
6th.
February
6th. 6th, okay.
You want to run that call? She just had her teeth removed. We were asking about that.
About having her teeth
and
removed?
And how is her health? About having her, how's
no,
her health has, now that her teeth are out?
And well, she's going to be okay while I'm gone, because she has a 10-month-old baby that I help her with. And so I'll be gone for a week. And I was just...
You're feeling guilty.
I think...
Yeah.
I'm feeling
nervous,
gonna
be okay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not
I do too.
Like wisdom teeth?
No, all of her teeth. She has to get dentures.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's got a Mercury Saturn conjunct
in Pisces
in their house of health.
Yeah,
that was some dissolving of her teeth. This looks like a long standing issue. And you know, I think it actually gives her, there's something about, she's a highly competent woman. And there's something freeing for her, like she's getting her voice back when she gets in her teeth.
Yeah.
Because Jupiter is on
definitely
her,
come a long way.
Moon. Yeah.
Yeah, Jupiter's
she's getting her voice back. This is going to be actually a real gift for her to step in. And she'll manage for the week. She really does.
I
think she looks okay for the week, I mean, I think it's the note on the midheaven, too, you know, that really is setting her kind of in a different. And you know, you're a Capricorn. You're showing in her chart as a Capricorn mom. You always kind of show up for her. So
mm-hmm.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
she knows you're there. You know, and also checking in. And she also has other people that can help. You know?
Right.
Yeah. So I think she'll be okay.
And it's good for me to still be myself and do the things that
yes. Take
I
want to
do.
Back.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take a step back, take a deep breath, and then come back in again. Because there's mm-hmm. many turning points and changes for you this year that will help you move your life in a good direction that you just need to really just be here and take care of yourself and show up for it.
Right. Right.
Okay,
and really trust that process, yeah. I mean, it's huge for
yeah,
her, too. I think she's, you know, with her progressed sun in Pisces and Neptune on her Venus, I think this is a really great new grounding for her, you know, the Capricorn,
mm-hmm.
all
awesome.
The new Capricorn energy. So
we're going to say
right.
good luck
well,
and have fun on your trip.
Okay, thank you so much.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
And we were just talking about, before you came on, about mm-hmm. the third pass of the Jupiter-Neptune square that's coming
right.
up this weekend.
Which is huge. And that's great.
Yep. It's huge. You know, and what are you? We talked about what I'm seeing in the headlines with it, and how people can work with it. What are your comments on it, and the advice you've got for them?
Well, I think it's really looking at it as a psychological energy because it's a closing
mm-hmm.
square, and it takes us back to mm-hmm. the conjunction which happened in 9 years ago in late Aquarius,
mm-hmm.
24 degrees Aquarius. So, we're really kind of trying to, you know, give the dreams permission to fly. And, you know, with all the Saturn-Pluto stuff, it's also saying, you know, we combine the two because they're kind of all the same number, inviting us to say, okay, what's the psychological stuff holding you back, and then what's the dream that you're trying to pull in, and psychologically, what last little push do you need to go to get it moving? And then, of course,
mm-hmm,
there's three
mm-hmm.
more years till the next conjunction. But I think, you know, we've had 1, 2, 3, and a lot of times with Neptune and Pisces, we really feel a little bit like we're adrift. And that's
yep.
okay. That's part of the energy of it. It's a drifting energy. It's not a
mm-hmm.
clear sail. And there was recently a woman who came in. There's a big climate change rally here in New York, and she sailed across the ocean, and she tacked
yeah, we
across. You know,
that.
They had an article about her tacking slowly across the New York Harbor. And one of the things when you sail, it's not direct. It's, you know, you tack to the left, you tack to the right. You have to kind of pay attention to where the wind is to get yourself where you're going. And so this is really trusting the winds, you know, trusting that the
yeah.
winds are carrying you, even if you're not always 100% sure where you're going. You
mm-hmm.
know, that there's a trust part that needs to take place. And, of course, with the Neptune, a bit of paranoia, you know,
mm-hmm.
that we kind of go, oh, you know, what about And the Neptune's part of the mystic rectangle, which
mm-hmm.
was really being
mm-hmm.
activated by all the Virgo planets, which worry, worry, worry. So it's saying to the Neptune, okay, I get it. I trust the wind. I trust the process. I trust that we're in transformation time. And we're in dream time. We're in big dream time. What's the dream? And focusing
mm-hmm.
on the positive dream, you know, not the negative. Because the negative dream can get pretty big pretty fast with Jupiter squaring the dream.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so not going
just,
into negative dream.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, but looking at what the warnings of those negative dreams are, but just kind of not going there. So we've
mm-hmm.
got several other people on the line. I'm going to call the next one and see if we can take the next caller. Hello, area code 949. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, my name is Mary Ann. Hi, Heather. Hi, Ann.
Hi,
Mary. How are you?
Hi, I'm so excited I get to talk to you.
When were you born? And start us off there.
Sure. February 19th, 1975, 4:04 p.m. in Los Angeles.
Okay. And what is your question today, Marianne?
So my chart feels very active. There is
mm-hmm.
so much going on. Really, I keep getting a lot of signs that point to career transition, and then just a lot going on with the whole Saturn opposition. So what the heck's going on right now?
And Saturn
well,
flying near Mars, too. Let's not forget
on.
That one.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's often, it looks like, a lot going on in your life because your chart is so complex that everything sets off something else, but the Saturn-Pluto
yeah.
conjunction on your Mars seems to be the highlight of that.
Yeah.
And And what do you see?
I would agree, and the solar arc node is in there too. So we've got a lot of stuff about what the actual physical work you're doing is right now, with Saturn in your sixth house and coming up to Mars in January. So it's really talking to you about how to, you know, and as a Pisces, you're kind of, you know, Pisces are high. I think of them as high woo, and they kind of know instinctively what they're supposed to do. And with the high woo kind of running, but the Neptune aspecting your Mars, it might feel a little bit less like I'm not 100% clear. And the Neptune is squaring your solar arc Uranus, so it's giving you kind of course corrections as you're in it, you know, so it's saying, oh, no, not that way, go this way. Oh, no, not that way, go this way. But it's really trusting that it's in that part one, part two, part three, just kind of go with the flow. And this last year is the ascendant, the solar arc ascendant has been opposite Neptune. It really is really trusting that process. Moon in Aquarius in another 3 months gets out of your sixth house. Important news this next month, if you moved 3 months ago or your job changed 3 months or your workplace changed 3 months ago, that's kind of setting the stage. And then once the moon gets above the horizon in 3 months, you're really in the public for the next 14 years, which for you is a good thing because you're moon on the node, right? So there's a real push forward, Uranus on the midheaven, changing your entire life. And, of course, Uranus opposition. January, when it opposes natal Uranus, kind of kicks you into a whole new reality. So I would just say kind of hang on tight and go for the ride and not worry about really how, except every day go, okay, have I done the top two things on my to-do list next, and then wait for the rest of the day to show up in some kind of crazy form. Because you're really working hard. And, of course, Saturn opposition is, you know, I'm looking back at what I did when I was 29 years old, and I know that my karma has stuff to do with my family, but your Saturn's also going direct by progression. So you've kind of finished that up, and now you're kind of building your own life, which is always really important. You know, when you're
I would
in
also
that.
Say
Your
progressed moon is next month conjuncts your natal Mercury, and then in 3 months goes above the horizon for the first time in 15 years also. And your progressed moon is now in an exact trine to your natal moon in Gemini up in your house of career. So the conversations over the next 6 weeks are really important. Make those overtures, make those connections, network, talk, process. You're seeding the whole next level of your work. So keep up that conversation.
Right.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your time, and I'm a devotee, so I really appreciate you taking the time to answer my question.
Cool.
Oh, well, thank
any
you
other,
very much.
Any other part
so
of the question, or did that kind of cover it?
You know, let's see. I feel like I just felt that mystic rectangle pretty awesome. I felt like it was directly upon my Venus. Anything there?
On your Venus, yeah. I mean, I think that Venus is really receiving a lot of new stuff coming in, especially with the Mercury, your solar arc Mercury's coming to it. And Mercury, of course, for you is a career indicator and a hopes and dreams indicator, and you. So there's a lot of energy with that, you know, kind of pushing you into a new space. So I would say, you know, the north node of the mystic rectangle is on your Saturn. So it's really saying you're done. You're kind of done with your old stuff. We're giving you new permission. We're releasing you from captivity, Saturn in the 12th, and saying, what would the new dream be? You know, that's how I would, you know, in a 30-second thing, say it. Heather, what would you say?
I'm going to go along with that, and I'm going to see if we can get one more person in before we cut off today. So good luck on that.
Sure. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And hello, area code 323, you're on the air. We only have a minute, but how can we help you?
Hi, my birthday is 1/29/66 in Norwalk, Connecticut at 4:08 a.m.
And what's your question?
I'm currently in California, in Los Angeles. And I actually had shot Anne an email about this. Anne, you've read me, and Heather, I've spoken to you once before on Access. Basically, I have to take a course of medicine, and I'm nervous about it. I feel like I've had a course for correction, that this might be the right thing to do, and I wanted to know what is a good day to start it, and is it this weekend? Because I noticed that my chart looks a lot like what Anne had on her site regarding this square.
I would certainly say wait until after the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction this weekend. So I would start after this weekend. How about you, Anne?
Yeah, definitely. The aspects this weekend are kind of crappy. I would wait till Monday at the minimum. Because you're going to have, get the moon out of your 12th house into the first next week. Next week we have the moon in Cancer. Sun goes into Libra. And that's on Monday, and then, Tuesday, Wednesday is the Leo moon, which is nice, got a nice closing aspect of a sextile to Mercury. Mercury ruling your Jupiter in your 12th house, which rules your 6th. So, yeah, I would wait until next week for sure. And then, Monday's nice, Tuesday, Wednesday, both are good. Wednesday up until noon. And then the Virgo moon at the end of the week next week is nice, too. Thursday, Friday.
If you were going to pick one?
I would probably pick the Leo moon.
Because
you're helping. Yeah, that's the Tuesday, Wednesday. Because the Tuesday, you're in Aquarius sun, which has kind of health issues anyway. It's part of the deal with Aquarius. So with the sun in your house, it's the moon's in your first house. So the energy really is going to be flowing your way. So that would be my preference, yeah.
And Jupiter's coming across your ascendant this year, so I really think that you're at a turning point.
Mm-hmm.
Your progressed moon has just finished the square to Pluto. There's a lot of improvement coming your way.
Yeah, especially in
the health. The potential for it, anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have half a minute left. I'm going to remind everybody to use the equinox well. Good luck. I would say that everybody use the equinox well on Sunday night, early Monday morning.
Cool.
And this is Heather Rowan Robbins from saying goodbye from Montana. And
goodbye from the Bright Red Desk on the Upper East Side. So long.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful solstice and good luck on your health issues.
On your health stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Take
Thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody. Talk to you next week.